In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. And in between the verses that we have, he first heals a man with dropsy, which was the swelling of the abdominal fluid. He healed that man on the Sabbath before he went in to eat, in full view of the Pharisees. And then, the portion that we continue with today in the gospel, he comments on the table manners of the host by telling the parable of the wedding banquet or great dinner. You could say that the Jesus of Luke's gospel is preoccupied with eating. There is lots of eating and table etiquette in the Gospel of Luke. In Luke's gospel, there are more references to eating, banquets, tables, and reclining at tables than in any other gospel. The trapeza, or table, would be something that folks either sat or reclined around to eat a meal. And it suggests that it's one of Jesus' key locations for teaching, reproving, encountering those who are marginalized, and for the telling of parables. It's a place for fellowship and discourse. The rules for the early Christian community centered around table fellowship, and our earliest Eucharist were table fellowship events. The nature of the instruction that Jesus gives in our stories today comes from the Hebrew wisdom tradition, such as Proverbs. It's a teaching passed on from generation to generation about how to negotiate and act in the mundane, ordinary parts of daily life. How to share a common table meal. Discouraging the presumption of privilege and encouraging a humbler tact. To ensure a sense of decorum, but like any good liturgy, to make sure practically that everyone gets something to eat. This summer, most of you know that I spent time at my old summer camp, which I attended for 7 years as a camper and 2 as a counselor in my earlier life, called Camp Nakanawa, the land of the thousand lakes in Malin, Tennessee, on I-40 in between Nashville and Knoxville near Crossville. And one of the centerpieces of camp is the dining hall. It sits right in the middle of senior camp, and you're there 3 times a day, if not more. 7:30 after flag raising and the Pledge of Allegiance, 1 o'clock for dinner, and 6:30 for supper. There were 200 girls on the senior side of the lake, aged 13 to 17, and about 40 counselors, including myself and Brian. My daughter Anna was across the lake where there were 100 junior campers, ages 8 to 12. We sat at tables of 10 in that dining hall, so there were 200 girls at 10 tables. And at those tables, we ate family style. We had the counselors, or sometimes the eldest girls, sat at the end, and 8 campers sat in the middle. We started each meal with a prayer, and you weren't allowed to put your hands on the chair in front of you. Your hair was to be tied back so it didn't fall in your plate, and you had to tuck your shirt tail in. That was not very popular. The first thing that happened once you sat down after the prayer was the person at one end who had controlled the drinks would pour the drinks, and each you would ask the person at the other end, would you like juice or water? And on hot days, you always had water before you had juice. And you went all the way around, asked, what would you like to drink? And someone would say, this, please. And so it went that way every meal. After the drinks, you had a table aide who ate with you, and they brought out the family-style food. And so the person at the other end, the other counselor, would ask me, if I was sitting serving drinks, what would you like to eat? And that would go all the way around. And once everyone got their plate, no one could eat till they got their plate, then the person at the head of the table would say, you may begin. It was a way to make sure everyone got served, that no one reached over and took all the toast before other people didn't have their plate. It was a way of making sure everyone ate and everyone was treated equally with the food. There was a rule called three bites, so when I went to camp and they had grits and sausage and apples and biscuits, which I thought didn't sound very good when I first went, especially grits, I had to have three bites of grits. And so that taught me that I actually might like grits. And so that's another of the rules. There are no elbows on the table. And there's the Nakanawa bread rule. When the bread comes, you get a piece of bread or toast, and you divide it into four pieces. And I've been doing this since I was 12 years old, and so I still do it when I have bread. But it's to prevent slathering it with bread and jelly on one big piece and putting it in your mouth, and then it all goes over you. So that's Nakanawa bread. You don't have dessert at noon until or 1 o'clock until everyone has finished their food and the plates have been cleared. And you don't leave the table until everyone is finished. At the back of the dining hall is this mural, and every time I see it and walk in the dining hall, I'm filled with warmth and a feeling of community. In the 1930s, the camp is almost reaching its 100th year anniversary, there is a mural painted of all the girls, campers, doing activities and canoeing in the lake and archery and doing all of their meetings. And it's signed at the bottom with Elizabeth Mitchell, 34, you know, Margaret Maitens, 70. No, she came back and redid it in 78. And then there's some more 30s and 40s as they did the mural. And it feels to me when I go in there, especially growing up an only child, as that I was part of a great community. And there was all this support around me. And there was a great cloud of witnesses of people who had gone before, who had been in that place. It's how we feel in a church building as well. And it's the importance of sitting at the table and being included. It saw me through very difficult summers, the summer after my mother died. It saw me through more summers when things were difficult at home. It was a place that raised me and enfolded me. One of the things that Brian and I, because we always sat at the same table, because he was one of the few men in the sea of girls, he always sat at my table. And to get everyone talking, because you change tables every week, we had a question for the meal or for the day. We asked where their name came from. Some of you have done that at vestry retreats. We asked their favorite book and movie. We also asked them for questions, and we also, one of the questions was, well, what would your dream wedding be? That was very girl-like. And then the favorite question, which you all have heard me talk about in a sermon some years back, was name three people, living or dead, not a family member, that you'd like to have dinner with. And that got very interesting. We had, of course, and this was a very southern camp drawing from the deep south, we had a lot of President Obama's, President George Washington, and President Lincoln's. We also had Justin Bieber, Lady Gaga, Taylor Swift, Taylor Lautner, and J.K. Rowling. But we had to eventually amend the family rule because so many people wanted to say, well, I really would love to have my grandmother that died last year at the table in one of those three. And if you think about your own family tables over the years, as you grow older, you realize there are people, especially at our big, big dinners, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, big family moments where you know that you are thinking of them and that there is that invisible chair there which you wish they were sitting in. You wish that sometimes the table would be the kingdom of heaven, that those in our lives who have humbled themselves for us, who have loved us, who have kept going with us, would be exalted at that table, be asked to move up. And that is our hope for all of those that we dearly love. At my table, there would be Abraham Lincoln and Desmond Tutu, but there'd also be Mother Nell and my mother and father. There would be Brian's father and all of his grandparents. And we hope and pray that that is what we will see when we pass on to the next life. All will be at the table, all will be served. So as we approach the fall and Not too long from now, it will be Thanksgiving. I ask you to think about growing up at the table. And so many children now don't get that table experience at night, or the table experience only on holidays. What would be those rules that bring you together, that washing your hands, whatever it is, that made you crazy when you were a child, but now you see was a way to bring everyone together so that all could be served and nourished by community? And who are those people that are at your table, that table of heaven, living and dead, who have humbled themselves to love you and to bring you to God's love? Amen.